Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Daniel chapter 3 and verse 15, we find a fabulous question, and it brings to mind questions asked by other kings, and it brings to mind a great encouragement about the God we serve. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 15, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had not bowed down to worship the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And when it was found out by the Chaldeans that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not bowing down, they accused the Jews. And so the king decided he was mad. The Bible says, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, he asked them in verse 14, "Do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up?" And now watch this, verse 15. "Now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Now here's the question. "And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" There's the question. Who is that God? "Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Nebuchadnezzar asks. And I'll tell you what, we're going to answer that question today. That question was answered for Nebuchadnezzar in a way he never expected. But in order to answer this question, who is that God, we're going to look back at the history of some occurrences when other men, in a similar fashion to Nebuchadnezzar, raised a question about the God, and they learned. They learned. Who is that God? I'll tell you who he is. He's the God who delivered Israel from Egypt. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5. He is the God that delivered Israel from Egypt. Exodus chapter 5. In Exodus chapter 5, Moses and Aaron go before Pharaoh, and they say, "Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And in verse 2, Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord?" See that question? That's just like the question that Nebuchadnezzar raised. "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And you know what happened. Instead of letting them go, Pharaoh cranked up the heat, so to speak. He became more vicious in his enslavement, gave the Jews more to do, and made their lives miserable in hard bondage. And so, tell you what, the Lord just going to answer that question for Pharaoh, and he showed him who he was. Plagues started coming in. You know about the frogs, and you know about the flies, and you know about the lice, and you know about the boils and the blains and the murrain of beasts and the hail, and you know about the locust and the darkness and the death of the firstborn in Egypt. God just kept raising up and raising up those plagues higher and higher, so that Pharaoh was now one-on-one with God. God sent his angel in and killed the firstborn. Pharaoh didn't know God, and he certainly believed there was no God who could help the enslaved Jews against him. But time after time, God plagued Egypt because of Pharaoh. And it came to the point where Pharaoh couldn't stand for the Jews to remain in the land. I mean, when that final plague came in there and the firstborn died, you know what? Oh, Pharaoh thrust them out. So that's it. And away they went. And so listen, the Jews left and went out into the wilderness to get away from Pharaoh. And Pharaoh second-guessed his decision and said, you know what? I got to go after those Jews. And he did. And he came after those Jews with an army of chariots. And when they found the Jews hemmed in, Red Sea on one side, mountain range on the other, kind of coming to a point, they couldn't get through. He thought, well, I got them here. I got them. The Lord opened the Red Sea, let the Jews through. The Pharaoh and his chariots and the army all followed. And you know the story. The Red Sea crashed in upon them, and every single one of them died. They all died. You know what? That's the God. That's the God Nebuchadnezzar was asking about. Who is that God? You know what the problem was? He didn't remember. Listen, it's an amazing thing how many people there are that know about the Red Sea crossing. It's an amazing thing how many people know about the Jews' escape from Egypt. And it's an amazing thing how many people don't believe that, and then they confront some great trial in their life, and they think, well, where is God, and who is that God? Oh, Nebuchadnezzar asked, who is that God? And had forgotten who that God was. God had stepped in there. God had stepped in there against Pharaoh and against Egypt, and he took those enslaved Jews out from underneath Pharaoh's hand, brought them out into the wilderness, and by the time they go into the promised land, they are a standing army, and nobody could stop them. Now, you know that the power of those Jews when they went into the promised land to win was in the hand of God, not in their own hand. And yet, because of that God, they had the strength to defeat every other army and take that promised land. That's who that God is. Nebuchadnezzar says, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Well, he's the God who delivered Israel from Egypt, but that's not all. He's also the God who delivered Israel from Sennacherib. Turn with me to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18, look at verse 35. In 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 35, what's happened is this. Sennacherib has come in to the land. He wants to destroy Judah, and he wants to destroy Jerusalem. Hezekiah is the king. The king of Assyria in 2 Kings 18, 17 sends in some spokesmen, Tartan, Rabsaris, and Rabshakeh from Lachish, and they start making a proclamation to the Jews on the wall and to anybody else who will listen that Sennacherib is going to defeat Jerusalem, defeat Hezekiah. Don't trust Hezekiah. Don't trust the God of Hezekiah. Just turn yourselves over to us. We'll let you stay in your land until we can get you over to our land. We'll put you in a place and we'll treat you better. We'll treat you better over there than you could treat yourself here. We'll take you to a land like your own land, they say to him in verse 32. A land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive oil and of honey, that you may live and not die. And hearken not unto Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Now listen, then they start questioning the gods. Verse 33, hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of mine hand? Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of mine hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of mine hand? There's the question. Who are they among the gods? Who is that God, in essence, that should deliver Jerusalem out of mine hand? Boy, that was the question. That's a wrong question right there. You see, he's the God who delivered Israel from Egypt. And when Pharaoh said, who is that God? I don't know who that God is. Then the Lord started bringing in all those plagues. And he said, now I'll tell you who it is. It is I. I am. And I mean, old Pharaoh died as a result of standing up against that God. Our God. Who is that God? Who is the Lord? See, that's that question that should deliver Jerusalem out of mine hand. Nobody else has done it. That was Sennacherib. That was his cocky spokesman. You see, Sennacherib had defeated several nations by the time he attacked Israel. And he attributed his victories to his great strength and to his great power and also the power of his God. And that's why they say, there aren't any other gods. Where are the gods of these other nations? They didn't stand up against us and our God. So by the time they get to Jerusalem and Judah, they can't imagine a God powerful enough to stop Sennacherib and the Assyrians. And so they make this boast and then write a letter. And then, you know, Hezekiah gives the letter to Isaiah, and Isaiah takes the letter before the Lord, and they spread it before the Lord in the house of God. Hezekiah is there and praying to the Lord God of Israel. And Hezekiah says, Lord, bow down thine ear and hear, open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he hath sent to reproach the living God. You see that? That's the living God. Verse 17 of 2 Kings chapter 19, of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations in their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Well, that's a tremendous prayer. He says, you know what? Everybody knew it back in the days of Pharaoh in Egypt. Just let all the world know that there is a God in Israel and that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Well, Sennacherib's not content. Doesn't turn away. So what happens? There's an army there to besiege Jerusalem, and there's lots of troops stacked up. Ready to attack. And you know what happens? I'll tell you what happens. At night, when the troops were out there outside the city, in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35, the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. That's 185,000 soldiers. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. When you read this same account in Chronicles, you know, which is 2 Chronicles chapter 32. And you know what you read here? You read that when that angel went in there and killed those 185,000, he killed the elite troops. That's what he killed, the elite troops. And I mean, when they woke up the next morning, they were all dead corpses. You know what Sennacherib did? He said, time to go home, boys. And he went back to Assyria. And when he got home and he was worshiping his god, Nisroch, you know what happened? Two of his own sons assassinated him. And you ask, who's that God that shall deliver out of my hands? I'll tell you who he is. He's the God who delivered Israel from Egypt. He's the God who delivered Israel from Sennacherib. That's who he is. And I'll tell you who else he is. He's the God who delivered Daniel from the lion's den. Go past the passage that we've read earlier today. Go to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, Darius is the king now. The Chaldeans have been defeated. And he has three presidents over his kingdom, and there are 120 princes underneath them over the whole kingdom. Daniel was the first. And Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. All right? Now, these guys were jealous. These guys were envious. They didn't like Daniel, but they couldn't find anything against him. They could find none occasion nor fault, the Bible says, for as much as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault in him. So they cooked up a scheme to get the king to pass a law, to make a decree that anybody that would ask petition of anybody other than the king for the next 30 days should be cast in the lion's den. And so That's what Darius did, not realizing that these guys were scheming to kill Daniel. Well, then Daniel did as he had always done. He went back toward his house, opened his windows toward Jerusalem, and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Well, they caught him, reported him to the king, and because it was a decree, there was nothing that Darius could do. Daniel was going to the lion's den. And now the king, when he discovered their plot, tried to undo it, but it was too late. It's too late. It was a decree, and according to the decrees of the Medes and the Persians, once that law is made, it can't be changed. And so Daniel has to spend the night in the lion's den. Now, while he was there, the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. When he got up in the morning early, he went in haste into the den of lions. And in verse 20, watch, Daniel chapter 6, verse 20, when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, here it is, O Daniel, servant of the living God, watch this question, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? There we go. There we go. There's that question. Nebuchadnezzar asked, who is that God? And Pharaoh says, who is the Lord? I don't know the Lord. And Sennacherib says, who is that God that should be able to deliver you out of my hands? And here comes the king, Darius, and he said, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? You know what the answer was? Of course he was. Daniel says, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. And I mean, they took old Daniel up out of that lion's den, and there wasn't a scratch on him. There wasn't a tooth mark on him. He was in good shape. You know what? God delivered him from those lions. Now, the next morning, when the king had learned that Daniel's God had delivered him from the lions, you know what he did? He got him out of that lion's den and then went and got the culprits. And he got their children and he got their wives and threw them into that lion's den. And the Bible says the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces or ever they came at the bottom of the den. So before they had hit the bottom of that lion's den, they had been crushed and killed by those lions. Well, I'll tell you, that's some kind of God right there now. I'm telling you, who is that God? That's what Nebuchadnezzar wanted to know. Well, let's go back to Daniel chapter 3 where he asked that question and let's find out about that God. So Nebuchadnezzar says to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, now we're going to play some music around here, and when we do, if you'll go ahead and worship that image, well, everything's going to be all right. But if you don't, then we're going to put you in that burning fiery furnace, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Well, he's fixing to find out, because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You know what he's saying? God can deliver us, he may not. But I'll guarantee you, but we know that we're not serving you, and we're not serving that image. Well, boy, that did it right there. So they heat that furnace up 7 times hotter than it was usually heated, got the guards, and threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in there. And you know what the Bible says? Because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Well, Nebuchadnezzar's looking in there expecting to see nothing but incinerated flesh. And you know what he sees? He sees those 3 men in there walking around, and he sees a 4th man. He sees the Son of God. Oh, that's what he saw. He said, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Woo, boy. You know what? I believe old Nebuchadnezzar getting an answer to his question. What do you think? Pharaoh did. Sennacherib did. Darius did. and so did Nebuchadnezzar. And he looked in there and saw those Hebrew children walking around in there without even the smell of smoke on them. Nothing singed. The fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. You can't even go by a campfire. Just walk by it when the smoke is drifting your way and come home without the smell of smoke on your coat. And they were inside of a furnace heated up 7 times hotter than usual, and you couldn't even smell the smoke. You know what? In verse 28 of Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and hath changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no god that can deliver after this sort." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Isn't that something? There is no other god that can deliver after this sort. An amazing thing. Absolutely amazing. Well, Nebuchadnezzar found out who that god is. He found out he's greater than any other god that was ever known or invented by a man. There is no other god that can deliver after this sort. Now you say, "Brother Weller, this has been fun going through the Old Testament and seeing those questions raised and those answers, but what's the point of all this?" Well, I'll tell you. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 10, and I'll tell you what the point of all this is. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 10. Paul is writing, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he's telling them that they've gone through a very, very difficult time. In verse 8, he says, "We would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." I'll tell you what it's all about. You know what happens to you? You get into a trial just like Paul did, where he says, "We even despaired of life." And you're wondering, is God able to deliver me? Is God able to deliver me? Well, spiritually speaking, this verse has been used to make a spiritual application, which I think is really great. Spiritually speaking, as God's child, Jesus delivered you from the penalty of sin when you got saved. He delivers you from the power of sin now that you are saved, and he will deliver you from the presence of sin when you have a glorified body. You see those three deliverances? He delivered you from the penalty of sin. Now he delivers you from the power of sin, and he will deliver you from the presence of sin. Makes a great spiritual application to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. But doctrinally, the context is God delivering Paul from his trials and then giving the Corinthians encouragement that God will deliver them from their trials. Okay? May I tell you something? God delivers you from your trials just like he delivered Paul in times when Paul even despaired of life. Do you understand? What happens is you get into a situation sometimes where what you're facing seems to be an obstacle so big that it seems insurmountable. It seems like the thing is going to destroy you, that there is absolutely no way you can get through the problem you're facing. And you know what you need to remember is that when Pharaoh thought that his captivity of the Jews was so secure that nobody could get them out of his hand, he said, "I don't know that, Lord." When Sennacherib thought there's no way in the world that Jerusalem will escape, he said, "Who is that God that's going to deliver out of my hands?" You see? And when Nebuchadnezzar had those Jews and they weren't going to worship that image, he said, "Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Do you understand? Daniel faced the same thing, and the king said, "Is the Lord able to deliver thee?" And Daniel said, "You better believe it." You see, when you're facing some sort of a thing where you need God to step in and deliver you, I am telling you, that is the God you serve. That is the God of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our God. God delivers you from trials just like he delivered Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. You see, the same God who delivered Israel from Egypt, who delivered Israel from Sennacherib, who delivered Daniel from the lion's den, who delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace, that's the same God that delivers you when you are in trouble. That's who he is. Don't question God. Don't question God. Don't let the devil cause you to doubt whether or not your God is able to step in and take care of a problem that needs God's hand. You will never face a situation from which God cannot deliver you, ever. Now, he may not deliver you under certain circumstances because you may have brought yourself into that situation by sin, and he may want you to feel the pang of it to convince you, I ain't going this way anymore. You may have gotten in there by your own foolish choices, so God would instruct you during that period of time to say, don't go that way, don't make those choices anymore. And you come around to God and you say, you know, I'm not going to make those crazy choices anymore, and God comes in there and delivers you out of that situation. Listen, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that God might not spare them from that fire. They knew that. But they said, they are not careful to answer the king. We're going to go into that thing anyway because we know by the scripture not to bow down and worship those images. And we know God can deliver, and he will deliver us. And they knew even in death they would be delivered from Nebuchadnezzar, and they would be delivered from the grave. They knew that. Now listen, God may not choose to deliver you if he has a greater purpose in so doing, but may I tell you something? He certainly can, and he often does. Do not despair in the time of trial when you need deliverance. Just look up and say, I'm not going to question my God. I'm going to look up and say, I know that my God can deliver. And then you talk to the Lord and ask him to get you through that trial and out on the other side to prove once again to all who behold, he is the living God. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.